In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Question 83. How many natures has Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man. And as we remember from question 25, a nature is what someone is. A person is who someone is. So if we were to ask our Lord, "Who are you?" He would respond, "I am Jesus Christ." If we were to ask him, "What are you?" He would say, "I am God and man." We would even add the words, "He is true God and true man." Question 84. Was the Son of God always man? The Son of God was not always man, but became man at the time of the Incarnation. Question 85. What is meant by the Incarnation? By the Incarnation is meant that the Son of God, retaining his divine nature, took to himself a human nature, that is, a body and soul like ours. Briefly, the Incarnation means the Son of God became man. Sacred Scripture says the Word, that is, the Son of God, was made flesh and dwelt, the Greek word means pitched his tent, among us. Jesus Christ is true God and true man, one with the Father and the Holy Ghost, and one with us. Question 86. How was the Son of God made man? The Son of God was conceived and made man by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Question 87. When was the Son of God conceived and made man? The Son of God was conceived and made man on Annunciation Day, the day on which the angel Gabriel announced to the Blessed Virgin Mary that she was to be the Mother of God. St. Thomas tells us that in sending his Son into the world, God wanted to contract a certain spiritual marriage between him and human nature. Therefore, he sent the angel to ask Mary's consent in place of the whole human race. This is brought out by the prayer, the Angelus. You should see here that when the Catechism says St. Thomas, that's referring to St. Thomas Aquinas. His full name, Aquinas meaning De Aquino, it's an area in Italy, is often not used. Sometimes we just refer to him as St. Thomas. Here the Catechism goes into the Angelus, which is a great prayer. Many times in Catholic practice, a prayer is called by the first Latin word that is used in the prayer. For example, the Ave refers to the Hail Mary, because in Latin, Ave Maria, that's the first word. The Pater refers to the Our Father, because in Latin, Pater Noster, that's the first word here. On the Angelus refers to the first word said in this prayer, Angelus Domini Nunciavit Mariae. So it's in three parts, commemorating key parts of the Incarnation. First, God sent the angel to ask for Mary's hand in marriage. Secondly, Mary said yes. Thirdly, God sent the Holy Ghost to make her the mother of his Son. And this is commemorated in the three parts there. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," and the Word was made flesh. The Angelus is a very important prayer. It is said by all Catholics, hopefully. And it used to be in a Catholic culture that things would simply stop at the ringing of the bell of your parish. When the Angelus bell sounded, a lot of things would stop, and you would say the Angelus, whatever you were doing. Bells, oh, they are important, the Catholics. Their ringing irritates and drives away devils. They ring out joy. One reason why Mohammedans forbid the ringing of bells in Muslim countries. They are excluded. There's an old English nursery song called The Bells of St. Clemens. I'll spare you the tune, but it's interesting. It goes, "The bells of St. Clemens Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clemens. You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me, said the bells of Old Bailey. When I grow rich, say the bells of Shoreditch. When will that be, said the bells of Stepney. I do not know, said the great bell of Bow. And on it goes. And it used to be that the parish boundary, your parish, was determined by the distance that the bells rang. So if you could hear a particular bell better than another, then that's the parish you went to. It's a marvelous little thing. Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clemens. Back to the Angelus. Keep in mind that the principle upon which our entire faith is built is the Incarnation. No wonder the Angelus is such a part of our lives, or should be. So traditionally, the Angelus was said at 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m. We'll conclude here with the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. You can find the text of the Angelus and how to pray it on pages 6 and 7 of the Catechism.